This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm terrified of time travel now. Way to go.
I mean, just go to the future.
That's kind of what I was thinking about. Homer never goes to the future. He always goes to the past. Almost everyone always goes to the past. I would definitely go to the future.
You can't mess it up. Like, you go to the future, you pop in right when you left, and you have, like, just get some lotto numbers from, like, next week.
Or you could just stay in the future where things are probably better, I hope.
I'm not going to bet on anything. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, guys. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can get access to all of our bonus material, which includes monthly bonus episodes, weekly written articles by me, new episode reviews, bad drawings on a weekly basis, and I promise they are bad, although very creative. I'm always like, I open up Matt's drawing every week, I'm like, oh, it's cute. I like it. And all kinds of other stuff. There's obviously higher rewards, and we're still working on it. So work in progress. No new people to thank this week, Matt. But we are only like $5 away from our next big backer reward level. So please check
it. I believe is a commentary track pack, correct?
Correct. 10 episodes worth.
So if you want to listen to more of us, why you would, I don't know, but if you do, that's how you're going to get us there.
We are very appreciative. If you'd like to help out the show in another way, please go to iTunes or wherever you listen to us, whatever podcatcher app you use, give us a 5-star review, subscribe, leave us a nice review. It helps us out a lot, helps us get up there in the rankings, and lets more people see the show. And recommending it to us to a friend is also greatly appreciated. This week's episode is Treehouse of Horror 5, or Treehouse of Horror V, if you're
that's yes, always the V.
The V. It is episode 2F03, originally aired October 30th, 1994, written by Greg Daniels, Dan McGrath, David S. Cohen, and Bob Cashel, directed by David Merkin, finished 27th in the ratings of the week with a Nielsen rating of 12.2, approximately 11.6 million viewing households. High. It was the second highest rated show on Fox that week, following Beverly Hills 90210. It was sixth last episode, so second is better than sixth.
That's true. Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place, all those terrible shows from the 90s.
They were very popular. They were very popular. People
That's
them.
True. Now they're all on the CW network where they belong.
Those are still very popular. Supernatural has gone like a 60 seasons. It's going to go longer than The Simpsons.
I don't know about that, but possible.
Those two brothers are going to have died like 40 times apiece. It won't matter. They'll just, you know, keep shotgunning demons and being handsome.
So if that's the case, the question I have is, when is their comic series coming out?
I'm surprised they don't already have one.
It does seem like they should, right?
Yeah. The couch gag. Each member of the family is like a weird Frankenstein monster, disfigured, stitched on body part guy thing. It's horrific. It does the job. The guest stars James Earl Jones very briefly as a weird alternate version of Maggie. But that's the only guest star.
True. It's very short. I really wish he would have hung around for more. But,
I hear that he's very pricey. This is the last Treehouse of Horror that features the funny tombstone bit.
Oh, sad face.
The writers, I think, got tired of having to figure that stuff out. Having to come up with, like, 8 tombstones that they could... I don't know. I'm guessing this is a lot of work already, so they...
Yeah.
Try and eliminate any extra. The episode begins with another one of Marge's warnings. This time, it is so dire, they don't even want you to watch The Simpsons.
Oh, my. It seems the show is so scary that Congress won't even let us show it. Instead, they've suggested the 1947 classic Glenn Ford movie, 200 Miles to Oregon.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust your picture. We are controlling the transmission.
What's that, boy? We're in control? Hey, look! I can see my voice! Blip, 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 blip. This is my voice on TV!
Dad, you're ruining the mood!
Sorry.
For the next half hour, we will control what you see and hear. You are about to experience the terror and foul horror of the Simpsons Halloween Special.
That is the segues into the actual opening of the show. The first segment is The Shining. A obvious...
Don't you mean The Shining, Robbie?
No. You want to get sued, Matt?
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay. It's a clear reference to The Shining. First book by Stephen King and then a movie by Stanley Kubrick. It is definitely closer to the movie version. The first movie version of The Shining versus the Stephen King endorsed movie version of The Shining.
What now? There was a Stephen King endorsed version of The Shining?
Yeah, it was released on ABC in the 2000s, I want to say.
Wow, The Shining on TV, that doesn't seem logical.
The book and the movie are, Stanley Kubrick's version are very different things, and I like them for different reasons. The Stephen King version that he does not like the Kubrick version. He thinks it is not accurate to his book, but Kubrick is, you know, he still made a very compelling movie, even though it has very little to do with, like, it has.
And it's super boring.
Oh, super. You think The Shining's boring? Not.
Yes.
Tense
I think
dramatic?
All of Kubrick's movies are incredibly boring. They go to the point where there's tension and they hang on for another 5 or 6 minutes. It's like, that's not tension anymore. You're just making me wait. I hate that.
All of Kubrick's movies? Not any of them?
Let's see. 2001, The Shining. Dune made me want to punch the TV. No, sorry. That was David Lynch. What am I thinking? Yeah, anyway. Yeah. Sorry. Let's move on.
I was like, no, he didn't do Dune. I am up and down on Stanley Kubrick. He was actually kind of a monstrous man, but I think he's a good director. But they do a gag where they have forgotten to lock first the front door and then the back door, and then they forget Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa's not all that important. He's a human. He can take care of himself.
Okay, he's fine. And then we get Bart. They finally arrive at the hotel that Mr. Burns owns, of course. And Bart meets Willie.
Hey, I found a shortcut through a hedge maze.
Get away, you little! No, go easy on the wee one. His father's gonna go crazy and chop them all into haggis.
What's haggis?
Boy, you read my thoughts. You've got the shinin'.
You mean shining.
Shh, you wanna get sued? Now look, boy, if your dad goes gaga, you just use that shin of yours to call me and I'll come a running. But don't be reading my mind between 4 and 5. That's Willie's time.
One of the most famous clips from any treehouse of horror, just the you want to get sued, is still wonderful to this day.
Yeah, it's really, even at this point they have gone full self-referential and they're like, yeah, we know we're stealing things. They get a brief tour of the hotel. There's an elevator full of blood, gets off on the wrong floor.
And soaks their cuffs, because none of them were smart enough to wear flood pants, unlike Milhouse.
Of course, Milhouse is always prepared. For some reason, Smithers and Burns cut the cable TV cord, and then take all the beer from the hotel, and then they make a bet.
Yes, by cutting off cable TV and the beer supply, I can ensure an honest winter's work out of those lowlights.
Sir, did you ever stop to think that maybe it was doing this that caused the previous caretakers to go insane and murder their families?
Perhaps. Tell you what, we come back and everyone's slaughtered, I owe you a Coke.
Yes, that's... I really...
I'm surprised that place would even get cable as far out as it is. I think they'd have to be on satellite.
I'm trying to think how far out the actual hotel
Overlook Hotel is.
Yeah,
is that what it's called? Overlook.
Oh, it was Overlook. Yeah, in the book, at least in the movie, there's an actual location that is kind of famous because it was the Overlook Hotel in the film. But yeah, that's what it was called. There'd have to be other people out there somewhere, right? It's not like.
Well, probably out there somewhere, but I mean, they have, you know, fancy hotels all over the place, far away from civilization. I mean, they have power, but a lot of them don't have communications infrastructure, especially back in the 90s, you know, the dark ages.
I think it's best not to think about it too hard, Matt. They Homer turns on the TV, realizes there is no cable, then goes to grab a beer, realizes there is no beer, and it takes it okay at first.
He's a little out of it. He's like, well, okay.
And the family's a little freaked out. He goes and visits Ghost Mo, who says he'll give him a beer as soon as he kills his family. Which is,
to be fair, in one departure from the actual Shining movie, there's no ghosts that are back in time to the 20s, I guess. They're just monsters. So,
well, Mo's the only ghost, but he is joined by like a werewolf and a mummy and a Dracula for some reason.
Well, yeah, if you're looking for scary things, ghosts aren't that scary. Now, Draculas and mummies and werewolves, those are scary.
And we get Homer going crazy, and Marge encounters it. And what is one of my favorite moments in the entire show ever?
This is less encouraging.
Hello! Now, what do you think, Marge? All I need is a title. I was thinking along the lines of no TV and no beer, make Homer something something.
Go crazy?
Don't mind if I do!
Stay away from me, Homer!
Give me the bat, Marge! Give me the bat! Give me the bat! Come on! Give me the bat! Give me the bat! Scaredy cat!
Yeah! Ah! You stay here till you're no longer insane. Chili would be good tonight.
That is amazing. That is masterful right there.
It's so. Dan Castellaneta does such an amazing job with the vocalization there. He is, you know, he's having to follow basically Jack Nicholson's performance in The Shining, which is spectacularly crazy. And he does a tremendous job in towing that line of legitimately kind of frightening and like slapstick and hilarious. It's like a weird back and forth, and the no TV and no beer make Homer something something.
It's only one of the most famous lines from the show ever,
and it's just so good, so good. The Homer is placated by, because he's left in the fridge basically, and he's just eating. He's just eating a lot, and the monster,
which is way better than beer.
I think it's enough for Homer at the time, but like the aforementioned monsters, led by Mo, they can open doors apparently. They drag Homer away from the food, and he then attacks the family. We see Bart calls Willy with his shinning. Willy comes and is immediately axed in the back by Homer.
Which, you know, they're being very slavish to the movie, because that's exactly what happens. Spoiler alert for a 50-year-old movie.
It's not 50 years old, Matt. That
40-year-old, whatever.
The Shining, let's see exactly when it came out. Let's see. 1980.
Okay, 1980. So, okay, fine. 36 years old.
36 years old movie. Thank you. All right. And you said 50.
I thought it came out in the 60s. I don't know.
The 60s? Yeah. When do you think Jack Nicholson like first became famous?
I have no idea. I've only known Jack Nicholson when he looked 40 plus. So I just assumed that by now he's probably 70 or 80.
He's always looked like that.
I know. I realize that now.
He has the Gene Hackman disease.
Yeah.
I would say he became famous was in Easy Rider and Head. But he was not Easy Rider. That is, I think, his first big movie, which was 1969.
Oh, okay, so yeah,
and then close. And then in the '70s, he basically did like 7 to 8 amazing movies in a row, and then he kind of
became a caricature of himself.
No, that was until 2000s at least.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'd say 90s. I mean, the Joker was still good, but, you know, after that,
Few Good Men, 92. Hoffa, 92. Wolf is underrated, I think.
Wolf?
Wolf. He plays Werewolf. You haven't seen Wolf?
Oh, I have not, no. Never even heard of it.
It's all right. I mean, it's not great, but I think people call it bad. I don't think it's bad. Where were we? But Homer chases the family. They run into the snow. Lisa finds the little miniature portable television that Willie was watching, and stops Homer in his tracks. He is eased by the presence of television. Unfortunately, they are frozen.
Live from Broadway, it's the Tony Awards with your hosts, Tyne Daly and Hal Linden.
Homer, change channel.
Can't. Frozen.
Ah! Urge to kill. Rising.
Okay, so two things. One, nowadays the Tony Awards are a lot better because they have, you know, really cool people to host them.
But with that, the family freezes to death in the snow. And we go to commercial.
Wow, we don't know they freeze to death. Maybe Homer's anger was so hot it melted the ice.
We go to commercial.
And when we come back, we go directly into the second story. We don't even revisit the frame story, as far as I know, in this episode. It is called Time and Punishment, where essentially Homer is reflecting at the breakfast table on his good fortune before realizing that his hand is stuck in a toaster. Why his hand is stuck in a toaster, we never really find out. But as soon as he is able to...
The toaster bit is amazing. It is completely a non sequitur to actually what happens. I mean, but it is a minute long of Homer having his hand stuck in a toaster. He thinks he gets it out of the toaster. And then Lisa's like, Dad, your hand's still in there.
So I think we can either determine it is a demon toaster that is trying to eat Homer, or there's some crumbs or pieces of a Pop-Tart at the bottom of the toaster that Homer continually tries to get.
It's a Halloween episode. I'm saying it's sentient. It's a sentient toaster.
Obviously. But Homer, after he is able to extricate himself from the toaster, decides that he is going to fix it. And somehow, at the end of fixing it, it has become a time machine. Because that's how these things work. Homer just happens to have the odd collection of parts that turn to a time machine. I guess Professor Frink is using their basement as a storage facility. But hey,
it works. All that Homer did was take various parts from other appliances that he has destroyed over the years. And he assembled them together and just accidentally made a time machine.
Yep, that's how you get a time machine, kids. Go give it a shot. Take apart all your appliances and just plug random things into each other. That's how that works. Anyway, as it is a time machine, it takes him back to the time of the dinosaurs, which, just so everyone knows, this is obviously an apocryphal time when dinosaurs from tens of millions of years apart are with each other, because the Tyrannosaurus did not live at the same time as the Dinosaurus. So, but, you know, it's the Simpsons. We're not going to, you know, dig that far into it. But Homer, once he gets there, he realizes very quickly what exactly he did and remembers the advice he got from Grandpa on his wedding day.
Don't panic.
Remember the advice your father gave you on your wedding day.
If you ever travel back in time, don't step on anything, because even the tiniest change can alter the future in ways you can't imagine.
I think that's kind of odd for wedding advice, but for graduation day advice, that makes sense.
Matt, that is good advice for any day of your life, including your wedding.
Okay, good point, good point.
Okay?
We have to reinforce this with our kids.
And this is all, this whole segment is a parody of Sound of Thunder, which is a Ray Bradbury story, which was made into a bad movie.
Okay, that's what I was saying. They usually mostly do movies for this kind of thing. So,
no, it was not a movie at the time of this. It is a relatively recent movie that I watched, and it is bad. It is bad. This 8-minute segment is infinitely better than the hour and a half movie they made out of it.
Good to know. Well, upon arriving in the past, Homer attempts to not change anything, immediately fails because he's bitten by a mosquito and kills it. He says, oh, that's one little insignificant insect, can't change the future, can it? Some sort of sloth ancestor coming by just shrugs and says, I don't know. And then Homer's toast pops up and he returns to the present. Luckily for Homer, at first nothing seems amiss, but then a giant television melts out of the floor and he sees Ned Flanders. And apparently Ned Flanders has become the unchallenged lord and master of the world, I guess. And Homer says, oh, what's that geek Flanders doing on TV? Apparently everything is monitored in this Ned Flanders types of society. So the whole family has to be immediately re-neducated, because that's what you do. If there's no negativity in Ned Flanders' world, just to prove that this is the darkest timeline. But a hover truck comes and picks up the whole house, brings the Simpson family in for processing to the re-education plant, which is a imposing circular edifice where basically they make them smile using hooks. They dress them like the Flanderses. They give them a glass of warm milk and perform a full frontal lobotomy because
it will make them very pliant.
Indeed it will. They will have no independent thought after that because, well, what's better? A society where everyone is happy all the time because they're stupid, or where people have independent thought? I think we know Ned Flanders' opinion on that after this episode.
Yeah, I'm not sure it precise. Like, this is very, like, a very many dystopian kind of science fiction concepts all thrown together.
A dictatorial authoritarian state, essentially.
There's some 1984. In this one,
the dictator happens to be Flanders.
Some Clockwork Orange. You know, there's the melty TV is kind of like Terminator 2, T-1000. You know, there's a lot of stuff thrown together.
There's a lot of evidence that this is a terrible, terrible future. But luckily, Homer is able to escape. The dogs are sticked onto him, but luckily he has the wieners that he then eats for the quick burst of energy they would never, ever provide.
Hey, it works out, all right, Homer?
It works out.
He gets a speed boost.
He gets a speed boost.
Just
it's like a power-up in a video
game. Just
like
in real life. You eat wieners while you're running, speed boost.
Yes. There are very many types of wieners. Give it a shot, guys.
Have you ever seen Usain Bolt race, Matt?
I have, yes.
Eats wieners every time. Always works out for him.
I must have been watching one of his off races because I don't recall seeing him eat wieners.
The 2012 Olympics, I remember. But everyone carries wieners. He's just the fastest with wieners.
That makes sense. That is now canon. Anyway, Homer escapes from the dogs using his energy boost from the weenies and the wieners.
Thank
my bad.
You. Come on, Matt. We need to be concise here. It's wieners.
Correct terminology. That's right. He uses the toaster to go back in time yet again. Well, basically, there's several different things that Homer does over and over again. There are a few crazy worlds he ends up with. I believe he kills the first fish to walk onto the land, and that ends up with his children being gigantic, which I think they were kind of going for this is the first animal to crawl out of the ocean onto the land, and it eventually became humans, so Homer killed it, and humans had to evolve some other way, probably from dinosaurs, but anyway, he comes back, the kids are giants, they try to play with him in their tiny little house, I guess it's a doll house that looks exactly like the Simpsons house. Another time he goes back and accidentally sneezes on a dinosaur, and I believe at this point, all the dinosaurs are killed by his cold, or whatever germs he brought with him. Homer, of course, thinks this will be the worst future, but it ends up being the brightest timeline.
Oh! I mean, hey!
Good morning, Father dear. Hope you're well.
Are we taking the new Lexus to Aunt Patty and Selma's funeral today?
Fabulous house, well-behaved kids, sisters-in-law dead, luxury sedan. Woohoo! I hit the jackpot! Marge, dear, would you kindly pass me a donut?
Donut? What's a donut? Oh, it's raining again.
Truly, that is the greatest timeline, because if I can go outside when it rains and just get a ton of donuts to eat, that's honestly that would be my version of heaven.
I'm just confused about how like their ecosystem functions. Like without what, like how do plants survive? Like where's water come from?
Well, there's a whole separate water ecosystem. It turns out that the donut plant just exploded, and now there's a giant cloud of donuts just circles the world.
And
in addition to rain,
my only thing about this is like donuts are not complicated. You know, just take dough, you make it into like a circle, a ring, and then you fry it. And then you cover it with sugar.
Yes, that is my dream.
I understand.
Homer, a millionaire just by collecting the donuts that rain and selling them to people. I mean, come on.
Regardless, that it is the best. I would have stuck with that one. I think I would have been okay.
Even without donuts, it was probably worth it. But anyway, the next time around, Willie is there to help Homer, but unfortunately he is immediately killed by Maggie with an axe to the back, and this is where she speaks in James Earl Jones' voice, saying that this is indeed a disturbing universe. Obviously, I don't do as well as James Earl Jones, but hey.
I admire your attempt.
I appreciate
E for effort.
Homer goes back again and again, and he just starts pretty much just killing everything he sees. And we see the future change multiple times. There's a Flintstones house. There's an underwater world. There's several very odd things that happen. But eventually, we see King and Kodos commenting on Homer's weird use of or inexperienced use of time travel until they eventually become Sherman and Mr. Peabody. And then finally, Homer gets back and is completely exhausted and settles on a world where everyone has long lizard tongues they eat with. He's just like, that's close enough and good. And that's the end of the act.
When we come back, the third story is called Nightmare Cafeteria, which I don't know. The Wikipedia says it's like a Soylent Green thing. I don't think it's a Soylent Green thing. Like there's cannibalism, but Soylent Green is a kind of a very different thing than this. This is darker and more horror. Soylent Green was like more dystopian science fiction film. I don't have any like a frame of reference for like a more horror based cannibal thing. I know they're out there, so I don't know, but I don't know specifically what this is supposed to be. But basically, Bart gets detention. Detention is full. So he has to go to, all the extra kids are in the cafeteria serving their detention. Jimbo, once Lady Doris mentioned that she is having to serve grade F meat, which is some circus animals, mostly filler, I believe is what the ingredients are. She accidentally spills something on Jimbo. Skinner gets a taste. Jimbo doesn't make it.
I don't know how much Jimbo he's tasting, to be honest, because, you know, all you do is lick the surface of him.
All you need is a little hint, Matt. All you need is a little hint, and then you get a taste. And then you want more.
Jimbo, why don't you assist Lunch Lady Doris in the kitchen?
Bite me, Skinner.
Well, might we?
It's hard for me to clean this giant pot when you keep spilling meat tenderizer all over me. Oh, great. Now I gotta work in the dark.
This sandwich tastes so young and impudent. Seymour, what's with the good grub?
Well, perhaps I ought to let you folks in on a secret. You remember me telling Jimbo Jones that I'd make something of him one day?
Are you saying you killed Jimbo, processed his carcass, and served him for lunch?
They're okay with that. The
teachers are like, heck yeah, you're one of the problem students.
Yeah, it tastes good, you know. This is not... of the three segments in this episode, I consider it probably the weakest. But they go all out with the grotesqueness of this. Like, it is really, like, with, like, Harry Shearer's performance as Skinner and, like, the noises, like, the eating noises and all that, they go for it, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, there's a lot of gore in this one. A lot even for a Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah, so. And this entire Treehouse of Horror is pretty gory in general. They were going for that because apparently the censors complained about previous Treehouse of Horrors, so they went, well, let's make it worse. Because it's the Simpsons. We get Bart and Lisa getting served. What is the Jimbo meal called?
Sloppy Jimbos.
Sloppy Jimbos, which not bad. That's a good pun. It's a good pun. Uder stands out for the wrong reasons. he gets sent to detention. And then they have an impromptu Oktoberfest.
Bart, does it strike you as odd that Uder disappeared and suddenly they're serving us this mysterious food called Uderbraten?
Oh, relax, kids. I've got a gut feeling Uder's around here somewhere. After all, isn't there a little Uder in all of us? In fact, you might even say we just ate Uder and he's in our stomachs right now. Wait, scratch that one.
That is a terrifying laugh.
It's really good. It's really like ham-fisted and campy in like the, you know, the C-level horror movie way that is I really enjoy for the most part. The Bart and Lisa quickly realize that the kids are being eaten. It's not subtle. And they go to Marge, and Marge tells them that they're grown-ups now. They need to solve their problems on their own. Of course.
Yes. You kids need to be more independent these days, darn it.
You're 8 and 10 years old. You can start getting things done on your own. Of course.
The Hardy Boys did it. So can you.
I guess we jump forward a little bit. Time has progressed, and now there are literally 5 children in the entire school not in detention.
Well, the detention is essentially a farm at this point, a high-capacity feedlot.
Yeah, we have who's left? We have Milhouse, Bart, Lisa, Ralph, and what's that kid's name, Matt?
I believe it's Wendell.
Wendell, correct. Wendell accidentally drops a pencil, so he is sent to detention to his death. Milhouse sees that, and that Miss Krabappel is reading a book about how to make and eat Milhouse. I don't know who wrote that book, but very, very prescient, I guess. It works in the context of this episode, which obviously is completely insane. And they decide, well, Milhouse, they try and make a break for it. They try to escape, and they leave Ralph behind at first. Poor Ralph. He doesn't even get...
Well, he's slow. You have to leave the slow ones to be picked off.
But we see Willie killed once again. A third time by an axe in the back, and Bart, Lisa, and Milhouse are backed up over a gigantic industrial-sized blender, which is set to gooify. When I blend things, I always set it to gooify.
I wish I could set it to gooify.
I think there is like blenders with settings like that. But we do get another delightful Skinner line.
I'm going to enjoy devouring you, Bart Simpson. Yes, I believe I'll start as you've so often suggested by eating your shorts.
A lot of great puns, a lot of great wordplay. In this entire episode, Milhouse takes a plunge into the blender, and Bart is sure that something's going to come along and save the Simpsons. And they fall, and he wakes up. It was all a nightmare. Nothing to worry about.
Nope, nothing at all. Except for that fog that turns people inside out.
Yeah, except for the fog that turns people inside out. And apparently the weather stripping on their windows is bad. And the fog comes into the room, and they all turn inside out. And then sing a song while inside out and splashing blood everywhere.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's kind of gross.
Ridiculously gross.
I might be added onto our little list of the grossest things in The Simpsons.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
I'm considering it because it's pretty gross. Especially even in the context of this episode, it's pretty gross. Because, like, it's like their insides and there's blood everywhere. The song is kind of funny. You know, they changed the lyrics to it. It is, apparently there's a thriller featured on a radio show, Lights Out, called The Dark, which that is inspired by. And the dance number is supposed to add it on a lighter note.
Okay, sure, if you say so.
the name of the song is One. It's from a chorus line, for you guys keep it tracking home. And that plays us out with blood splattering everywhere and the dog and Sam's Little Helper chewing on Bart. It's a great Trails of Horror. Maybe my favorite Trails of Horror overall.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're gonna rank all the Trails of Horror segments we've gotten through up to this point at the end of the show and break them out from our overall list. So our list is gonna drop. The number's gonna drop down a little bit. You know, we're gonna be around 100 again, and then the Trails of Horrors we're gonna do segment by segment, it's not overall Trails of Horrors. We're gonna go segment by segment, but that would be at the end of the show. Where's my notes? There they are. Next up, it is time for my favorite episode. We have a submission, Matt. This is from Aaron.
We do.
From Aaron. His answer, obviously, my favorite Transformer and favorite Simpsons episode is Season 6, Episode 6, 2F03. Trailer Horror 5. As far as jokes per second go, this has to be one of the highest concentrated episodes out there. All three segments are incredibly funny and awesome. The running Willy gets axed in the back. Death ties them all together in a clever little way to remind you that you're watching part of a greater whole. Seriously, though, if I listed all the jokes and laughs from each segment, I might as well just write the entire synopsis for the whole episode. So I'll do a rapid-fire attempt to recall my favorite parts from each segment. 3, 2, 1, go. The shinning, go crazy, don't mind if I do. The little fat boy and his family are in trouble. Marge's great line, I hope that rug was scotch guarded, which it took me a long time to figure out. Like, because Willie's scotch. Get it? Haha, scotch guarded.
I did not notice that.
Yes. All this and more on tonight's episode of 60 Minutes. My husband has gone crazy. Well, crazy over. Well, glad that's over. Time and punishment, I'm really a lucky guy. Dad, your hand is stuck in the toaster. Right, Mr. Peabody. Quiet, you. What the hell are you smiling at? I wish I hadn't killed that fish. And of course, what's a donut? And finally, we get Nightmare Cafeteria. I've got a gut feeling that Ooter's around here somewhere. You could say we just ate Ooter, and he's in our stomachs right now. The kid's homework, eat a stick of butter. And Marge's, I can't fight your battles for you. You march right back in there and say, don't eat me. Anyway, best I can do for a quick fire summary. Thanks again, dudes. No, thank you, Aaron, for your submission.
That was a dang good summary.
Yes. And there's even more. Like, he's right. It is loaded. If you have a favorite episode and you'd like us to send us a submission, simply email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. I will read it aloud, read it on air, when we get to that episode. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments to the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, and it's archived on Google Groups from about the week or two after the show, this episode has debuted, and see what people were talking about, what they thought about it, anything that was in the news, etc., etc. Every week I empathize more and more with the Simpsons writers and the creators.
Yeah.
Because I dig pretty deep into what people are posting about. A lot of it is just kind of chaff, and it's just like, I need a videotape for season three, or I need a GIF, or what's some Homer clips? I need some sound, like some wave files or whatever. But a lot of people saying this is the worst Treehouse of Horror yet.
Those people are insane.
It's just bewildering to me.
What exactly are they looking for in a Treehouse of Horror
episode? I don't know. Like, it seems like there are some people who are saying, like, no, I loved it. It was great. And I just don't understand. Like, I don't have the memory of watching this fresh and how I felt at that exact time. And I was a lot younger, so I don't really have a perfect hindsight on this. But I've seen all of the Treehouse of Horrors. And this is a great, like, in any context, I could watch them in any order. It doesn't, like, I don't understand watching, I don't know. I can't understand it. But a lot of people didn't like this one at all. They thought it was by far, like, very strong words. But that's about it. Not a bunch else, actually, aside from some people on the news group seeing that cartoon, that Hell, Life and Hell cartoon I mentioned last week, that Matt Groening being threatened violence by an angry poster, and then saying, no, we love you, Matt Groening. We thank you for your work, which is nice. Some positivity to counteract the negativity.
There's not nearly enough of that on the internet.
Not really. But I think we can move on to our next segment. It is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite political moment, episode, whatever? Tons and tons and tons of great answers. Always appreciate it, all of them. Guys, keep it up. First, we have from Mike, Adam Mike Bloom type, the never-ending debate of who was the greatest prime minister, Pitt the Elder or Lord Palmerston? Pitt the Elder. Matt?
Oh, Lord Palmerston.
There you go. Okay. We are all Team Cap at Ryko Lives. Mr. Lisa goes to Washington. The whole episode, obvious but the truth. Matt at Matt Henshaw 11. Citizen Kang, that's Slick Willy for you. Always with the smooth talk. Hashtag go ahead, throw your vote away. Art at Oddslot, the political commercial where Sideshow Bob blames Quimby for releasing Sideshow Bob. Thomas, my fascination with the Dole Clinton election, I was a nerdy child, definitely makes me favor this quote from Citizen Kang a tad too much when President Kang, Clinton says, my fellow Americans, as a young boy, I dreamed of being a baseball, but tonight I say we must move forward, not backward, upward, not forward, and always twirling, twirling, twirling towards freedom. Lots of, most answers were from that Citizen Kang segment. Sean's answer, going with the show's response to George Bush saying that American families should be a lot like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons. The response, hey, we're like the Waltons, we're like the Waltons, we're praying for an end to the depression too. Brian's answer, abortions for all, boo. Very well, no abortions for anybody, boo. Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others. Yay!
That sounds about right.
Yep, that's about right. Zach's answer, two bad neighbors. Absolutely love how they portrayed Bush in that episode. Bonus points for the great Gerald Ford joke at the end, too. Do you like football? Do you like nachos? Fantastic episode. Rhiannon's answer, Lisa, the whole reason we have elected officials is so we don't have to think all the time. Just like that Just like that rainforest scare a few years back. Our officials saw there was a problem and they fixed it, didn't they? Oh, Homer, never change. Rob's answer, the Al Gore doll. You are hearing me talk. It's pretty good. And finally, Nick's answer, I love In Trails for Horror 19. Homer tries to vote for Obama, but he keeps voting for McCain. Gotta love when Homer is killed by a machine and spits out, this doesn't happen in America. Maybe Ohio, but not America. It's Ohio sentiment there. I'm sure Ohio's a great place. Matt, what is your answer?
I have to go with a moment from Sideshow Bob Roberts, basically when Bob is confessing directly to the judge, pulling out evidence, and at the end doesn't expect to go to prison. That is just, in real life, he wouldn't have gone to prison, which is sad, but I just feel like his crestfallenness is amazing.
In real life, he would not have gone to prison. My answer is from Two Bad Neighbors. It is the Gerald Ford bit at the end.
Nice.
I just love that Homer and Gerald Ford are just like simpatico immediately. They're just, and they fall down and they're just perfect for each other. It's really great. That whole episode is great. And it's not even about politics whatsoever. It is just
Someone said, saw George Bush, like, man, that is somebody that would really hate Homer.
Yeah. They're not even, it's nothing to do with George Bush politics. It's just like, they don't like each other for some reason. And that moment when Marge and Mrs. Bush's name? Barbara Bush, of course. When they're like just talking, they're like, yeah, they should be friends. But then Flanders and Bush get along. It's brilliant. Next week's question: what is your favorite groundskeeper Willie quote and or moment?
Oh, that's gonna be so hard.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to think about it. I don't have one off the top of my head, like just a front runner. You know, I have some answers floating around, but I'll have to think about it. I will post this question on all of our social media. On our Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. On our Twitter, @SimpsonsShowPod. And again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, I will post this question and various other things throughout the week. New episodes, you can keep up with everything Simpsons show related on those places. Next up, Matt, it is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
Play. I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. We had a wager for last season. I lost. Wager for this season is a new season. I can win. We are tied. The host that doesn't win has to mow, quote-unquote, the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best.
Totally going to do that.
Well, we're going to figure it. I don't know if I'm going to have a lawn or not, and I may be like thousands of miles away from that when it actually happens. We'll figure it out. We'll play by ear. I'll start us off. Okay, you ready for an easy question?
Do it.
I have a theme. I gave. We didn't have an official theme, and I gave myself a little theme. just to work around. It's very, you'll very quickly figure out what it is. First question is, Groundskeeper Willie is from what country?
Scotland, sir.
That is correct. What is my easy question?
All right, sir, your easy question. Let me scroll down to it. Oh my gosh, so many questions. All right, who is Springfield's chief of police?
That'd be Wiggum, Clancy Wiggum.
That is correct.
Your medium question, what episode did Groundskeeper Willie first appear in?
That's a medium question?
I had the same dilemma you had last week.
Okay, fair enough. What's the first Groundskeeper Willie?
I think if you think about it, you'll figure it out.
No, that can't be it.
I'll give you a clue, Brett.
Okay.
I'm feeling generous. It's a season 2 episode.
That's what I was thinking.
Gives you 22 answers.
I guess I'm going to go with Principal Charming.
See, you are correct.
Oh, man. That's what I was like going through in my head. I'm like, that's the first time I can remember seeing Willie, but maybe. All right. Are you ready for your medium question?
Sure.
That's quite a bit easier, I think.
Okay.
What chronic condition prevented Clancy Wiggum from entering the police academy?
Asthma?
You are correct, sir.
And it gets fixed by when Homer's mother releases whatever it is in that germ warfare lab.
I believe it's an antibiotic bomb.
I don't think that would... Whatever.
that would have no effect on asthma.
Not sure if the science on that checks out, but whatever. Your hard question, man. I have no idea if this is actually a hard question. I didn't know this off the top of my head, but you may. What is Groundskeeper Willie's last name?
His last name. Oh. God, what is his last name?
Well, yep, that's what I'm asking.
Sorry, I'm asking myself because Williams.
He's Scottish, man.
I know. Willie Williams. Doesn't that sound right?
McDougal.
No, McDougal. Okay. So it's a very Scottish name. Gotcha.
Yes. Yes.
All right. You ready for your hard question?
Sure. Let's go for it.
All right. Now, I need the full name of this. What part of the Wiggum house do Ralph and Bart break into in This Little Wiggy?
Oh. Ooh. It's an underrated episode.
It really is. It's one of my favorites.
I don't know.
You do not know? Okay. It is the Forbidden Closet of Mystery, which contains all of Chief Wiggum's cool stuff.
Is that what they... Forbidden? I was thinking something entirely.
Oh. I guess Chief Wiggum comes in and is like, what is your fascination with my Forbidden Closet of Mystery?
Oh, right. What am I thinking of then? I said, I was thinking of something else entirely.
Oh.
What am I thinking of? Something... I was thinking of something like Ralph... like a Ralph describing something else entirely.
Oh.
I don't know what it was. Whatever. Got it wrong. We're even.
For this Indeed, week. We are.
Even still tied. 28-28.
Just trying to figure out what you were thinking of.
I can't think of it. It doesn't matter. I'll think of it like I'm going to try beginning to sleep tonight and it'll pop into my head or something.
Fair enough.
So, 28-28. We're tied. I just need to get ahead. Okay. I'm trying to get back on track. If you have a theme or trivia questions, please send them to me and our social media, any of those places, and I'll use them. We're going to have to, I think our best episode ever segment is going to go relatively long this week, so we're going to no bonus questions. Sorry, Matt.
Oh.
I know it's heartbreaker, isn't it?
It's terrifying. Yeah, my most enjoyed part of the episode.
Is that it? The most enjoyed part?
I think so. Probably.
With that, we can move on to our final segment. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a part of the show. We rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. This week, as I've already mentioned, is that we are going to be doing a Trials of Horror segment rankings. We're going to break them out from our regular... Best Episode Ever list, and go segment by segment. We are just going to start from the very beginning, the first Trials of Horror, and we're going to talk it out as we go. It might go a little bit long. That will be okay. Okay, Matt. The first segment, Bad Dream House, is automatically number one on the list.
Yay for it.
Because it has, it is the first one. Now, then we have Hungry Are the Damned. Is it better than Bad Dream House? Ooh. I say it is.
I would say yes. Yeah, pretty definitely.
But Hungry Are the Damned is the famous, first appearance of Kodos and Kang, where they say they're going to eat the Simpsons, but they're not going to eat the Simpsons. And then the third segment from the first dress far is The Raven, famously narrated by James Earl Jones. Is that number one? Is that number two? Mm. Or is that number three?
I think for now it's number three.
Oh, really? I was going to argue higher.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
You can argue if you want.
Oh, if I want. I would say at least number two. I think it's better than Bad Dream House for sure. Hungry of the Damned, it's not funnier than Hungry of the Damned. I just like it because it's The Raven, and has James Earl Jones. And
it tweaks a favorite of, you know, of the genre, essentially.
Hungry of the Damned is certainly funnier, I think. But can I cement it at least at number two? A compromise?
I think so.
We can compromise at a number two. Okay, so look, it's easy, right? That was like a minute, and we got already an entire episode done. Okay, this is a little bit trickier because this Transformer 2 did not have titles for the segments, so I'm just going by loose descriptions. The first one is the Monkey's Paw segment, Lisa's Nightmare.
I think that one's a solid number three.
Number three?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I think I would. I'm trying to think back. The Monkey Paw has the nail with a stick in it.
Oh, that's right. I think you can go number two on that. Maybe slightly better than The Raven.
Not better than Hungry of the Damned? You really like not Hungry yet. Of the Damned?
I do. I really do.
I don't know. I think. I'm gonna see if I want to put out an argument for it. I don't know. I just think it's also like production values are a lot better and the writing's a lot tighter.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's season three versus season two, so.
I would say it's number one.
All right, fine. Number one.
The unofficially titled Monkey's Paw. It's called Lisa's Nightmare because that's all they're just. Bart has a nightmare, Lisa has a nightmare, Homer has a nightmare. The second one is I just titled It's a Good Life after what it is parodying, A Twilight Zone. It's the one where Bart's his will becomes reality, where he like turns Homer into a toy box and, you know, he can control stuff with his mind.
Yeah, it's good. It's
am I boring you, Matt?
No, sorry. It's good. It's not great. I think I could put that a solid number three.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's probably my least favorite of those three. It doesn't do anything like crazy, really creative with it. And the last one I just called Homerstein. It's where Homer gets his brain put into the robot, and then in the end, Homer's and Mr. Burns' head are both on Homer's body. I would put it right above It's a Good Life, probably.
I think so. It seems about the right spot.
I don't know. It doesn't stand out, I think. No. The first two Trails of Horrors, I think, are okay.
It's them getting their feet.
Yes, and then they really dial it in with three, which has three amazing segments. One is Clown Without Pity, which is...
Oh, man, that's a good one.
That's, I would say, easily new number one.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's Krusty the Clown doll comes to life. That's bad. next up, King Homer.
I'd probably put that one down, maybe number five or six.
Really? That low?
Well, I mean, it's well done, but it's just, it's King Kong. It's not really special about it.
I would put it below Monkey's Paw. I would put it number three.
Really? Above Hungry Are the Damned?
Yeah. It's just, it's like, it's very well executed. Like, they go for it. Like, it's in black and white. Like, Homer as King Kong, I think, is very funny. I think it does exactly what it's trying to do. Like, it's full on.
I don't know. We may have to fight about this one.
I don't...
Hungry Are the Damned is really good.
It's fine. But it has one joke.
That's true. That's true.
The joke is good, but it's the same joke, like, six times. Like, hey, the aliens are going to eat him. No, they're not going to eat him. The aliens are going to eat him. They're not going to eat him. Then they get their feelings hurt. Like, it's a good start. I don't think it holds up to... King Homer has a lot of depth and nuance.
All right, fine.
Thank you. King Homer number 3. All right. And lastly, Dial Z for Zombies.
Oh, I really like this one. I would probably put this one at number 3. What?
I really like this one. Number 3.
Well, I mean, I like it, but I mean, A Clown Without Pity is obviously better. I think Monkey's Paw...
Obviously better? I don't know about obviously better. Dial Z for Zombies is... You killed the zombie Flanders. He was a zombie?
He was a zombie?
Eat Lead Shakespeare.
The Thriller album on Bart's hat. Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
But A Clown Without Pity is still better.
Okay, I would say number 2 then.
I think we can compromise on number 2.
I think it's better than Monkey's Paw. It was doing zombies before zombies were played out. All right, I think
that is true. That in my mind that makes it a little played out. But you're right, that was way before everyone was doing zombies.
Yes, exactly. Putting it into like the societal boredom with zombies. Now you can't do that. Okay, on this that's done. That's Treehouse of Horror 3 done. On to Treehouse of Horror 4, which another 3 great ones. Devil and Homer Simpson.
Ooh. That is a really good one.
I put that number 1.
Yeah, definitely.
It actually has heart in it, which you very rarely see.
In a Treehouse of Horror.
Heart, and it has tons of, like, Ned as the
Phil
devil.
Phil Hartman, yes, please.
Ned as the devil, and Lionel Hutz, and the Jury of the Damned, and all that stuff. Really great.
Oh, man.
Then Terror at 5.5 feet.
That is a really good one.
It's really good. I would put it at, like, 3 or 4, I think.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking number 3. Like you said, Dial Z for Zombies is good, and it came before everyone had so played out on zombies, but I still think Clown Without Pity is better.
Yeah, I think Terror at 5.5 feet actually manages to be better than its source material.
Much better. William Shatner.
That episode is fine, but that thing is not... The monster is not very frightening anymore. And finally, the last one is Bart Simpson's Dracula.
Very similar to King Homer, but I think a little more well done just because it has Mr. Burns as Dracula and the twist ending. I'd probably put that one at number 5.
I think that's a good spot for it. Right below Dial Z for Zombies, we have Bart Simpson's Dracula. Maybe we've had a little bit more Lost Boys in it. It'd be a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And on to this week's episode. First, we have The Shining, number 1.
Ooh.
I put it number 1.
I think I'm going to have to go number 2 at this one.
Matt. Not 1.
Okay.
Not 1,
it's
but
it's very close
two.
To number 1.
Not 1, but 2. Top 25. Do you want to get sued? And no TV and no beer make home or something.
Fine. The catchphrases put it over the top.
No TV and no beer make home or something, something.
Go crazy?
Yes, exactly.
Don't mind if I do.
It's so good. I quote it so much. We've talked about it a little bit. Time and Punishment. Where does Time and Punishment go? I think it's very creative. Very interesting.
It is very creative. It's right around Clown Without Pity. I can't decide if Clown Without Pity is better or worse, or Time and Punishment is better. What do you think?
I would put it right below Clown Without Pity.
I can definitely see that because it's good, but like you said, the gag gets played out pretty quickly. I feel like the best part is him escaping from the Reed Education Center.
But you eat enough wieners and you get faster, Matt.
Of course, as we talked about.
I'm really just seeing how many times we can get the word wieners into this week's episode. And our final segment is Nightmare Cafeteria.
That's a pretty good one. I think... I don't know. I'm thinking either number 2 or number 3 for that one.
Whoa!
I really enjoyed that one.
Whoa! I wasn't expecting it to go that high.
Just very creative. It takes something that is obviously like an ancient folk tale or something like that about people eating each other. It's the story of, Wendigos and those sorts of things. But it does it in a very creative way, puts it in a new type of setting. I feel like the teachers are very believable as the evil, evil bad guys. The jokes, especially when the kids go to Marge for help, are really good. And if we can separate the last little Inside Out part from it, I can definitely see number 2. If we're including that part, it's going to go down pretty far because that's just weird and gross.
Well, I mean, I think that's the weakness of that segment is that it ends with that weird Inside Out musical number, which I don't enjoy
that
much.
If we're including that, I'd probably put it at either 5 or 6.
That's, we are including it. It's part of it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I... I can't feel like that's part of a frame story.
The frame story is Marge giving the intro, and then we get the Outer Limits thing. It's the ending of that segment, for good or ill. I don't think it's fair for that segment to end that way, but that's it. Them's the breaks. That's how the cookie crumbles. I would put it probably, I don't know, it's really good. The ending brings it really down a lot. I would probably put it like 5 or 6 in there. Is it better than Dial Z for Zombies?
Yes, but not by much. Like I said, the ending really brings it down, but I think 6 is a good spot for it.
Okay. Number 6, so better than Dial Z for Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. That's fine. I just wanted my Shinnen up top. That's all I care about. There we go. We have a Treehouse of Horrors segment rankings. Down we have The Shinning at number 1, Devil and Homer Simpson number 2, Clown Without Pity number 3, Time and Punishment number 4, Terror at 5.5 feet, at rounding it out at number 5, with Bad Dream House in last place at 15, which it is the very first segment, so I just there are no bad Treehouse of Horrors segments, honestly. All of them are interesting just because they're like, it's such a playground. Like,
yeah,
because there's
so far anyway. We'll see when we get to the mid teens about those Treehouse of Horrors.
I don't mind them. I mean, they're not as great as these in a lot of ways, but they're still like just like, hey.
True, and they're generally better than most of the episodes in the seasons themselves they came from.
Yes, which is an entirely different subject which we may discuss at a later date. But I will add this to our website and break it out, which you can find at thesimpsonsshow.com. This list, plus the best episode ever normal list, plus links to all our social media, plus links to our Patreon, where we obviously appreciate the support, and to new episodes, straight from the source. What's our next episode, Matt?
Oh, let me see. Let's see, we're up in season 6 now. Next episode is Bart's Girlfriend. Ooh, that's a good one.
That is a good episode. I haven't seen that in a long time.
No, it's got a good guest star for Jessica Lovejoy.
I was thinking of later on in. I was thinking of Ralph talking about the electric chair.
Oh, that they'll smell like hot dogs.
Yeah, I don't know. He had like did he,
or
did
wieners,
he had,
as it were.
I thought he had a name for the electric chair or something like that. Did he? Did he not have a name for it? Or am I just making all this up?
Or play chair?
I don't know. I think I'm making all this up anyway. I'm going crazy. But we will talk about that next week. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour. HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com, on iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. Unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That is true. However, I have decided that I am going on a fantastic journey to figure out why my stomach hurts today. So if you are able to find my unconscious body and inject some sort of message, or just, you know, write on me, I will find it when I get out.
I don't know how much that is serious. with that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the Simpsons.
Shh.